Welcome to the Impact Story Podcast, where we are excited to talk about where God is uniquely showing up in our daily walk. On this podcast, you'll hear real-life stories of God working in big and small ways in our community.
Hello, I'm Tara Stack, and today I'm here with some wonderful ladies from our Suwannee Sugar Hill City Impact team. I have Sally McCown with us. I have Nikki, tell me how to pronounce your name again.
Jeevanayagam.
See, I got it. She's our prayer coordinator for Suwannee Sugar Hill, and Sherry Herringer. She's our communications coordinator for Suwannee Sugar Hill. We are so excited to have you guys here with us today, just chatting about what you guys are doing in Suwannee Sugar Hill, how y'all have come together. So I would love for you at first to just, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, how long you've lived in Suwannee Sugar Hill, just whatever you want to share.
Hi, my name is Nikki, and I've been married to my husband, Jacob, for close to 30 years now. Mm-hmm. We have twin children, Luke and Hannah, and they're both away at college. And Perimeter has been our home for a really long time. I'm not sure how many years, but a long time. And We just love it here.
Good. Thank you.
I'm Sally McCown. Jim and I have been married for 41 years, and Jim went on staff at Perimeter about 3 years or so ago, and which is crazy, part of our story. Mm-hmm. We started coming to Perimeter in 2008, from Gainesville, Georgia, and for about 6 years, 7 years, we traveled back and forth, and then about 7 years ago, we decided to move closer and landed in Suwannee.
Awesome.
And so thankful for Perimeter. It's been such a blessing to us. We have three grown children and six grandchildren. So, and they love coming here too when they come to
visit
us.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sherry, how about you?
Well, good morning. I'm Sherry Herringer, and my husband Tony and I have been married going on 33 years now, I believe. I was trying to figure out when we came to Perimeter. I think it was around 97 or 98. That ages us a little bit. The kids were young, and they are now 30 and 28, so Travis and Abby. We moved to Suwannee in 2007 because Tony's mother came to live with us, and we needed a place that had a bedroom on the main floor. So we moved then, and that was also about the same time that we became empty nesters. And I found myself at home with nothing to do. So I jumped in and started doing a lot of things around Suwannee and got involved with the arts up there and have pursued that. And what else did you want to know?
That's
about
great.
It.
Yes,
okay.
That's good. We'll go into kind of just questions about, so tell us about how you guys kind of got to know one another and kind of band together as this group of women.
Nikki. Nikki is the Pied Piper of the group.
I'm not sure about that.
She's the one whenever there's a need or something, she gets on the phone and calls, which is perfect because it's that personal touch. And she's plugged into, I'm saying these things because I know she won't. She's plugged into so many avenues of helping people through the co-op and through other resources. She's a magnet for people who need help.
That's not really true. But anyways, I'll let her say what she wants.
Right. Well, Nikki, how did you start? How did you get involved with the co-op? Tell us a little bit about North Gwinnett.
You know, my son Luke was diagnosed with autism when he was two. And at that time, it was really hard for us to go out and do any volunteer activities together as a family because he would be all over the place. And so we started doing things that we could do at home. So first was at the schools, they were sponsoring children when my kids were in kindergarten, sponsoring children for Christmas. So we said, oh, we can do that. So we got a child off the counselor and shop for the kid, wrap for the child, and prayed over the present, gave it. It was so, it was such a family experience, and it felt so good to just be able to give back. And so next year, some of my friends noticed that, and they started sponsoring children. So now this has become a very big thing.
Yeah.
We sponsor over 800 seniors and children over Christmas. But it's just something we love to do, and just a small way of giving back to people, you know, who have had a tough life. I have been in that situation myself. Mm-hmm. My dad died when I was young, and we had a family of five children. And so I know how it is to receive.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just to be able to bless when you can.
Yeah.
Is what,
I love that.
What it is.
I think for me, we have always participated in small acts of service, or if Perimeter was having a diaper drive or whatever.
Yeah.
But we've never intentionally and feel like we're just beginning on this journey of looking at where we live, looking at our neighborhood, looking at with an intentionality that it feels right that we invest in that. I'm thankful for Nikki that she continues to open our eyes, hey, right here, right now, we need this.
Yeah.
Can you help with this? It's not a, it doesn't come, our hesitancy does not come from, maybe hesitancy is not the right word, from not wanting to help.
Yeah.
It's a matter of, hey, opening our eyes to, hey, right here, can you do this for this senior that lives right here? So that's been a really nice thing. We had we felt the need in our neighborhood, and we're still, it's heavy on our heart to work in our neighborhood. Several years ago, we decided to have a cookout in the neighborhood, and it was our first attempt. And we had 50 people show up. They'd never had something like that.
Wow.
There's still a real strong need in our neighborhood, probably 80% of the people in our neighborhood are older, and probably not Christian.
Yeah.
So we still have a need. So this, the whole city impact for us is, it's important that we love our neighbors right near us and stuff. And so I'm thankful for the intentionality of it.
Yeah, that's what, as you were talking, that's what I was hearing, just being intentional about loving your neighbors, and how you were sharing, Nikki, like you just, when you started, you didn't really have that much that you felt that you could offer with everything that was going on with your son and your family. And little did you know that that little bit that you could offer would become such a huge thing.
No,
right. And then, you know, like just hearing you guys talk about the different dynamic of y'all's relationships, like Sally, it may not be you to run out and find what's happening in the city, but that's okay because you have a friend right here, Nikki, that is doing that. Yeah. And so, you know, that's the hands and feet of Christ. You know, we all play different roles, and that's really awesome how y'all have kind of figured that out, that's the role that you guys are playing. So tell me a little bit about what happened with the Shepherdess Ministry.
Okay. Well, we were at a team meeting, a city impact meeting. I think, Sarah, you were there too with Daryl. And we had different ministries there, discipleship, we had shepherding, we had community outreach. And, you know, it was our first group meeting. And I met Kelly Ward for the first time. And Kelly had come on Facebook Live prayer before, so I'd seen her there, and I'd heard a little about shepherding over that, but I'd never seen her face to face. And she talked about their ministry a little bit. And our group still doesn't have a shepherdess, but she mentioned that. And she also said, we have a freezer ministry, and we're down to our last 10 meals. That was just a side note, you know, to what she was saying. And something inside me said, you can do something about that.
Yeah.
And I was like, who? me. Looking around me because I don't even like to cook.
Right.
You know, I mean, I cook just to feed my family, and I really don't like to cook.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, really? Me. But I thought to myself, oh, I can ask people. And she said there were pre-made, there were recipes, and they would share that. So I thought, okay. So that night I emailed her and I said, hey, Kelly, would you just share the recipes? I was not going to commit to anything until I looked at those recipes.
Right, exactly.
And then out of those that were there, we picked couple of them, like I think we picked three of them, and we said, okay, this is doable.
Yeah.
And then I just texted five women, and before I knew it, 64 meals, just like that, overnight. I had people saying, I'll make three batches of this and three batches of that. And I was just shocked.
Yeah.
You know, I know this is only God.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't have done it. There's no way. I might have been able to make three meals, maybe. That's it.
Yeah.
But God just brought all the women together.
That's amazing. And so,
And the next thing we know, we ended up with like 75 meals.
Wow.
By the end of the week, they were in the freezer. So
wow.
That was a real God
story. The freezer
story.
Was packed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's amazing. You never know, especially when we've had so much death, so much hurting, so much struggling, especially really in the past 2 years, and how these meals are coming into play in people's lives, how they're blessing people. You know, you never know when you yourself are going to be in need. I think Sally might have a story to share about those meals, don't you, Sally?
Yeah, I was blessed to be able to participate in them and make several of the meals. And several months later, I broke my foot, ended up in a cast. And so Jim was my, he was my chef, my grocery driver, whatever. And
all the things.
One day I ended up... I was over here at church, had gotten a ride with Jim, waiting for him to leave the day, and we were in his building, which is where shepherding is, and I said, I'm going to go visit with the ladies in shepherding. So I went in with my cast on and enjoyed talking to them, and all of a sudden, Kelly Ward says, I think maybe you could use some meals. Would that help you? I was like, I don't know. I was apprehensive about saying that I needed help. But so she brought a bag. She had some meals in it. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. So we're driving home, and I look inside the bag, and I pull out one of the casseroles, and I immediately recognize my handwriting on the casserole. And it was one of the casseroles that months before I had made for that freezer.
Yeah.
And it was, oh my, it was as if God said, you make it, I'll hold it for you, and I'll give it to you when you need it.
Yeah.
I was just absolutely blown away by God's attention to detail and providing at just the right moment something I needed. So it was a wowie.
I love that.
It was a
wowie. It was. Just to show God's provision, His love for you, and just when you didn't realize that you'd be that one in need. And that's really the truth. We don't know whose hearts we're touching and who's going to be the person next door.
Yeah.
That's going to need our love and attention. But you were there and you were listening to the call of the Lord, and that's what you did. Made a meal. That's awesome.
That's
such a cool God story. So what else is happening up in Suwannee Sugar Hill area?
Gosh, someone that was putting the newsletter together, and I saw the numbers of things that we were able to do on Serve Day, I was blown away. I think we started with a very ambitious schedule. Kathy Isaac's had put together so many projects, and we felt like, well, if we hit a couple of these and make an impact, then we're going to be doing really well.
Yeah.
And I was had no idea we would end up, and it truly is God, because there's no way we could have ever done as much. I mean, what was it? You had like 1,200 pounds of groceries.
I think went up to 3,000 pounds of food.
Food for the co-op.
We collected so many things for books and things for sick.
509 books, I think it was, for a school to use as reading incentives for children and gifts and things like that. And the story I like best is David.
Yes.
David's story, that he went out to Home of Hope to sign his guys up for the Saturday work project and to survey the land there to see what all they would have to do and what they needed to bring and so forth. And when he was there, he first off saw that the garden was a mess and that they had quite a lot of work ahead of them. And then he went inside to sign the guys up, and he noticed that someone had already signed up. And they just said the garden club. And so he asked the receptionist and said, why do you need us if you already have a garden club? You know, I mean, we're glad to help, but, you know, is that too much, or should we, are we going to be taking away from somebody? And she said, no. She said that the garden club is a group of elderly ladies, and they just got together because they wanted to plant some flowers and do a little gardening. But when they saw the sad
that it was landscape
of of the garden, that they were daunted and they were, you know, disappointed and so forth. And so David was like, all right. So they showed up on Saturday and they moved trees and cut down branches to give more sunlight and tilled the earth and cleared off a bunch of the land and got it ready for planting. So I just thought that was a great story.
That is a great story too, because I don't know, if it was me, I might not have asked the question. If I saw someone else, you know, had signed up, I would have been like, okay, well, next opportunity, you know, like they already have someone. So just how God kept spurring that on in his heart to continue to push forward in that. That's really cool. That's a great story. Yeah, you guys are doing a lot of awesome things up there in Suwannee. The thing is, you know, I know that we were kind of chatting about this beforehand, and I think we're like, you know, we're not doing that big. It's not that big of a deal. You know, like, it's not these big outlandish things, but that's not what, you know, being God's people in these cities is. Like, being God's people in these cities are just allowing the Holy Spirit to spur us on to, hey, maybe I should do 3 meals, which turned out to be 75. Hey, maybe I should, you know, offer to landscape and not allow, you know, that spot that's taken to stop me from even pushing forward, you know, like, and I feel like those little movements, those little step forward are just becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's having such a great impact in the city of Suwannee Sugar Hill.
Well, I have to say, yes, to God be the glory, but also, it makes it personal, more personal, because you're, number one, you're connecting with people that live close to you, that you might not normally, perimeter members, and then serving people that are close to you, and then getting to know your community in a deeper way. So those are all really beneficial.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow night, the prayer, you say something about that?
Oh, yes. So we are meeting at my place tomorrow night for prayer and dinner. So we thought we'll just add dinner to it this time.
Because who doesn't love to eat?
Yes.
And you're cooking, Nikki. And it's not
she's not. She's using her phone.
Yes.
Okay,
getting Mexican food, and I will bake some cookies.
Good. There
yes,
you go.
That's my part. We have already gotten a response bigger than we normally have.
That's
for
awesome.
So I just praise God for that. And, you know, I know that not to sound like the words of that song, but God is in this story.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we trust that and we look to Him for mm-hmm. guidance for the next step, you know.
Yeah.
And whatever He wants to do with this group, that's what will happen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I kind of want to say something. I was thinking about this as I was driving in this morning, like, okay, what am I going to say? And I'm an outgoing person and can talk to a brick wall. I've always been like that. And so I know a lot of people around the Suwannee area. I've met a lot of people and involved with a lot of things. But truly, and this is going to sound like the ultimate plug for City Impact, and it is.
We'll
truly,
take it.
Yeah. Until we started forming the group and having specific needs to drill down in, I feel like now I'm truly able to excuse me, see the needs in a ministry sense.
Yeah.
And that without this, I don't think I would be able to have uncovered so many needs. Even though we know a lot of our neighbors and friends, and our neighborhood is great. We pitch in together and help each other out whenever there's a need. But in the community, we've been able to uncover some needs that I would have never known about.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for City Impact for that. I really am.
I think that's so good. I think about my own life and, you know, I do my best to live intentionally, but being a mom of four kids who are, you know, athletes and active and in like, you know, a ton of different schools, you know, I'm intentional with my neighbors, but, you know, I feel like having a group of people to help with that intentionality to then, like you're sharing, kind of find the need, show the need, and it almost opens your eyes, like your peripheral becomes bigger. It's like the scope of your world is like, okay, like this is, God is in this and we can do this. And it almost gives you a bigger passion, a greater passion for where you live. Not just so focused on your own family and, you know, maybe the people next door, but really the people within your larger community. So I love that. Thank you for sharing that, Sherry. So how would you guys encourage others to get involved?
I would say just jump in right where you are.
Yeah.
There's always something that you can find.
Yeah.
It could be just sending an encouraging note to your child's teacher or even checking up with your neighbor or bringing some cookies over, you know. I think there's always something we can do.
Yeah.
For my part, I know it was always excuses. I'm so busy. I have so many things going on, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody else can do it.
Uh-huh.
But God calls me to do that. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
And He gives you the capacity to do it, too.
He does.
That's what I find.
You're right.
So. Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, it's just stepping in when somebody asks, like Nikki, or whatever. Just, okay. And that one step. And how that one step opens up a world and opens your eyes a little more. And then you're willing to take that next step. And it's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful thing. I look forward to taking more steps.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thankful for it.
Mm-hmm. That's good. It reminds me of... our previous pastor, Randy, our founder, just how he would say, just lean forward and flap, you know, like you're just leaning in and flapping and, you know, God's, yeah, exactly.
Like
I mean, mine might be like wailing my hands about like crazy, but.
Well, that was the beautiful thing about this, the meals, you didn't have to prepare.
Yeah.
You didn't have to. All you had to do was follow a recipe.
Mm-hmm.
The packaging was provided. The location to drop it was provided. Uh-huh. So it was all laid out.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. As the communications person, I'll say, you know, just go on the website and look. The opportunities are listed. You know, you can find all kinds of things. But Nikki's husband, Jacob, also texted me yesterday, and he said, you know, going into the new year, he said, may I suggest that we start making more personal phone calls to people, because, you know, you get flooded with so much information. And the personal call, a personal touch, a voice can make a big difference. So if you're not involved, you may be getting a call.
I think that, you know, every little thing you can do could amount to bigger things. And so I think that you, like we've kind of said and what we've hit on, you never know what God is doing even in the small things. You know, God is in the story and he's weaving it all together. And so you may get, you may look on the website or you may see the needs and get overwhelmed, and you may look at your life and be overwhelmed. Like, I don't think I can do this. But it could be just getting a recipe, putting together a meal, and you never know how much that blesses people. So thank you guys so much for sharing today. Is there any way that we can be praying for you guys?
We still need some leadership positions on our core team, but we also would love to see more members involved, particularly like on the prayer night on Friday night. But just we've seen, like when we've had a couple of outreach events, we've seen people come and rally. But we'd like to see this next year, we'd love to see our team core members really get more involved and grow. It's because more hands.
Yeah, and I might add for those of you that are listening, what she means by team is you guys are just a group of volunteers that have kind of become leaders in your community and leaders for City Impact. And so you as a group of volunteers have kind of stepped up to say, you know, I'm going to cover these different areas, whether it's communications or prayer or, you know, faith and work or you know, shepherding, whatever it is, you guys are kind of the go-to people for that. And so that's what that city team means. And we are so thankful for people like you that are just willing to give your time and your resources. And it's really blessing your community. So thank you guys so much for sharing today. I appreciate you being here.
This has been a podcast of Perimeter Church. For more information, please visit the City Impact website at perimeter.org/cityimpact. If you have a story about what God is doing where you live, work, and go, you can share them at www.perimeter.org/shareimpactstories.